It's often the little things, small behaviors, that can change our lives. That's the power of a financial edge. I'm Ed Meek. I'm a financial advisor with a passion to help you retire early, save more, and live better. Welcome to Ed's Edge, the podcast to help you live the life you've always wanted. $120 billion. Would you like to have that today?
With a B.
With a B, yeah.
I would. Yes, I would like to have
that today. Would you trade places with Warren Buffett? Because that's what he's worth as of today.
I would not trade places with Warren Buffett.
Hmm. Who is Warren Buffett?
Warren Buffett is, for all intents and purposes, one of the best investors we've ever experienced. We've ever...
Still alive right now. He's 93 years old.
Yes, worth $120 billion. The majority of that is through sound investment decisions. And a lot of people follow him and his picks and try to piggyback on them because they know how successful he's been investing. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you trade places with him?
Yeah, I would not trade places with him because of that last statement you said, that he is 93 years old. His runway is a little bit shorter than mine.
Maybe when he was 30 or 40, different story, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so I think that ties to what we're going to talk about today, which is balancing our money, our time, and our health.
Right, right. So we wanted to provide for you a quote by the Dalai Lama. So we've got Warren Buffett, we got the Dalai Lama.
We have these profound individuals.
Profound, huge people in history that are still alive today. So the Dalai Lama was asked a question. What surprised him most about humanity? And he answered, man, because he sacrifices his health in order to make money. Then he sacrifices money to recuperate his health. And then he is so anxious about the future that he does not enjoy the present. The result being that he does not live in the present or the future. He lives as if he is never going to die. And then he dies never having really lived.
That's deep.
It's deep.
Let that
sink
in. But
it's true. It's a rat race. Especially in our culture. Maybe in certain parts of the world you wouldn't see this. But in our part of the world and in the world where we see capitalism and people who want to kind of keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah. I have a friend who visited Europe this past summer, and talk about a completely different culture, especially economic culture, where, you know, they work 4 days a week. They're out and about at 2 a.m. on a Tuesday night. They're living. Yes, their economy is not growing as fast as the United States, but they've got different priorities.
Their balance is different.
Yeah, yeah. And one could argue we're workaholics here in America. And what we want to talk about is ways to create some fulfillment for you instead of just all about the money.
It might be feel a little counterintuitive. We're in the business of trying to help people save as much as you can and accumulate, right? And so we do think that's important.
But I want to tell you a story. COVID time, I had a client. I was working with her for about 10 years. Frankly, a friend, not just a client. And she had unfortunate set of circumstances where her health was going. And she was in her early 70s. I think she was 71. And she had accumulated a significant amount of money.
A nest egg and a half. I mean, it was a very nice sum of money.
Yes. And as I was working with her, she still hadn't updated her dishwasher. She still hadn't redone the floors from 35 years ago. She was what I like to call a true saver. Mind you, her parents grew up in the Great Depression. And so when you have a baby boomer whose parents grew up in the Great Depression, they teach you indirectly that money can be scarce. And we need to protect and save. And that behavior for her continues all throughout her life. And it worked from a financial standpoint. She had a lot of money. One hole in that story. I talked to her 1 month before she passed away. And she reflected on her life. And unfortunately, there was some regret there. She regretted she never went to Ireland. She was an Irish lady. She never went to Ireland that second time she wanted to.
She could have gone to Ireland every year for 20 years.
Oh, yeah. Twice a year for 20 years.
I mean, and I remember you you know, when you were working with her when you're younger, encouraging her to enjoy this, right?
Yes. Yes.
And what do you think, like, where this came from?
I think it stems to that behavior around the money is scarce and I need to protect it at all costs, no matter what.
Like an anxiety.
Yeah. Right. Anxiety about running out, even though the math states us there's no scenario that where she would run out, barring Armageddon.
But if we don't do that check and hit that reset and realize what we're doing, then we often allow our emotions to control some things and override things that are even more important, right? I have a story that's kind of the opposite. Mm. So going back to when I was in college, I grew up making money, working at golf courses. And I worked at a golf course when I was in college. And there was this couple that I would sometimes work where I would help people when they kind of got into the golf course and get on the golf. I was what's called a bag boy. And then sometimes I would caddy for people. And there was this couple that I got to know a little bit and I became their caddy. And so every time they came out to the golf course, they would call me up ahead of time and be like, meet me out at the golf course. And I would carry both their bags and we'd have a really good time. And they became, you know, very close and they're still close to this day. And so what happened was he was a very smart guy, great with math. And he started trading downtown in Chicago back when they used to have these exchanges and it was called the Chicago Board of Options Exchange. And his math mind was so quick that he came up with some trading ways where he was ahead of everybody and he made a lot of money doing that. And he retired around when he was 50 years old. And he just said, I have enough. I'm going to enjoy it. And he enjoyed it and he enjoyed it and he enjoyed it. And unfortunately, during the year of COVID, he passed from cancer, but he was able to enjoy that for 30 years as opposed to his partner. He had a partner who accumulated and accumulated, accumulated, and that man is still alive and he has a lot more money because he didn't live off of it, but he didn't enjoy the life the same way that this friend of mine did. And so everybody's situation is different. And so you have to have a balance, except it's really important not to go to one extreme or to the other. I have a friend, I don't think I ever mentioned it to you. I mean, I haven't talked to him in a long, long time, but I remember when I was younger, his father passed away when he was young, his dad did. And he was really successful in business, had sold a business and they really, really enjoyed themselves. And I remember him saying, hey, you know, I don't want that to happen to me. And so I haven't stayed in touch with him. And so I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see kind of how he played that out, if he was able to balance that. And so we tell these stories, so it gets you to be thinking.
So let's put some visual behind this. When you talk about balance, what that might look like over the course of our life.
So this chart that you and I came across, we believe is really, really a good thing to kind of look at and consider. And we felt like it's a good way of visualizing what we try to communicate with people. So we want the most fulfillment out of life at every stage of life, right? And so what this chart does is it shows us that pink line, it shows us what our health is like, right? When we're young, our health is at optimum usually, and then it's slowly, gradually, and I think you even mentioned this recently, you kind of felt like you're near at peak, but you're not quite 100% sure. Like what is giving you indications now at what, 35?
35, yeah. I probably the number one thing I've noticed is I fatigue easier than I used to when I would play a sport of some sort. I used to be able to play for 2.5-3 hours. Not so much anymore.
Is it partly because you're out of shape?
That could be too. Fair point.
I will say, and you know, when you see this pink line, it intersects another line, right? And the other line is what, you know, really is a big key to what we do, which is helping people accumulate wealth so they have enough to hopefully live a comfortable lifestyle. And that line intersects at a certain point. And it depends on everybody's age is a little bit different, but I think you were the one who pointed out that intersection is right around where my age is right now. And I would say exactly what you just alluded to is about 2 years ago. So I've historically played basketball for exercise. And as some of you may know, I'm doing a lot of pickleball now, but what I noticed in basketball was I used to be able to play for 2 straight hours. And now when I play it, you know, about 1 hour and 15 minutes, and I'm just like, all right, guys, I'm done. And it really had nothing to do with me like playing less or being out of shape. It's just your body can only do so much. So
I wonder if they should add in, you know, if you have children, how that health deterioration, if that's a little steeper climb.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of it too with son. Love you to death, Theo. But as you can see in this chart, we're talking about balance. I think that's so well put is depending on your priorities, your goals, you want to balance these three parts. You're certainly money. Very important to get that strategy down right, but also your time and your health. And I think of those as the three legs to this stool. I know we've talked about four legs before, but this is think about a three-legged stool. You need them all in order to have a fulfilling life. We want to make sure our clients, as they get older, don't have any regrets.
Yeah, you want to enjoy those experiences when you can. It's super important not to spend everything so then you don't have anything in the
end.
But it's also important, we have seen this, right? People who, like your example of your client, because of their anxiety, they literally didn't do the experiences they want. They just had this mindset where they didn't, that bottom part where you can see the blue dotted wiggly lines, you want to enjoy those as much as possible. The one thing about this chart that is a little bit, there's this thing that on the right, you can see in the green line that goes up and down. It's called the regret gap. And that's what she was referring to. I feel like this one client that I had, that was also a friend, that didn't exist. That regret gap was very narrow. But the one of the problems I have is at age 70, they said, can only do low physical ability experiences, mini golf and gentle walking at age 70.
Let's hope not.
Am I going to be playing mini golf and only gentle walking in 15 years?
Eat your Wheaties, Ed.
I hope not. This summer, I was playing pickleball up in Michigan. And my partner, I walked on the court. My partner was this 92-year-old guy who like told me 6 months earlier he had just had a stroke. And so his name was Hank. I was like, all right, Hank, you know, I'm 54. I'm certainly not as quick as you are, but like I can move a little better than Hank right now. So I said, Hank, in pickleball, like people will like hit the ball all over the court. I'm like, Hank, is it okay if I end up, you know, going around the court to try to get the ball? And Hank's like, Ed, I just stand here. So
he's playing though.
But he's playing. That was amazing. Like, I hope I'm playing pickleball when I'm 92.
That's right.
And so I didn't get to know Hank well enough to know about if he enjoyed all his experiences, but he seemed to really enjoy life.
Quick hat tip to this chart. Owen Stone King he wrote an article about this whole topic. And so if you want to dig deeper into it, just search Owen Stone King, pronounced how it sounds, spelled how it sounds, I should say, O-W-E-N and Stone King. So one quick tip for us all as I think about, you know, well, what are my priorities and my goals? And I want to make sure I don't have regrets, but what would it look like? I read this in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People book. I want you to visualize yourself. I don't mean to be morbid here, but I want you to visualize yourself passing. And I want you to think about your funeral and your loved ones getting up there on the stage and talking about your life. What do you want them to say about you? And how do they want them to feel about who you are as a person and what you did? That should help with a starting point, working backwards now, on what do I want to make sure I have accomplished? Who do I want to spend time with? You know, the giving back to society, all of those items.
I don't think we want people, and rarely probably will they be saying, oh, they did a great job investing. They really accumulated a lot of money. Boy, that was super impressive. No, it's really about experiences. It's about fulfillment. You know, your family did you coach Theo in baseball? And even if it, you know, what didn't you just coach him in something that you didn't even play that sport in? Right. I mean, he's young, but like, why did you do that?
Yeah. I find so much joy from it.
Right.
It's giving back and it's frankly, it's the start of a legacy. Mm-hmm. So, yes, hopefully that'll help with you thinking about your own priorities and avoiding those regrets as we move forward. So
I think of, you know, the last thing just as a quick tidbit. Sometimes people will be like, we know you can take this much income when you're retired, and they are. And then one of the things I love hearing is every once in a while when they call us up and they're like, hey, you know, we were really thinking about, we want to take the kids and the grandkids to Disney. it's going to cost $20,000 or $25,000. And you and I love hearing
that, love it.
Because then we plug it in and almost always it shows they're going to be fine. Just, you can do that every once in a while. And if you can like save for that, or when you're there and you can do that, it's like gold.
Yeah. Money's fuel towards accomplishing what we want. All right. With all that said, it is time for Ed's food.
This one.
For thought.
I'm super excited for. I know I'm excited for all of them, but this one I'm really excited for.
Okay.
So my daughter lives in the city right now and she's a waitress. And I'm sorry to the vegetarians about the last one. I talked about bacon, and I know that when you're a vegetarian and you smell bacon, sometimes it's like, that's the hardest thing for vegetarians to give up. But if you are a vegetarian, I have an awesome place for you in Chicago. And so my daughter is a waitress there. It's in an area called Roscoe Village. Mm-hmm. I think it's on Roscoe Avenue or Boulevard or whatever, but it's a brunch breakfast place. Only vegetarian. We've been there a handful of times. They have an incredible waitress. Her name is Callie. She's great. But the food there is amazing. I mean, it really, really is
good. What kind of food could you order there?
Every breakfast type of food is there. Skillets, omelets. You know, yeah, definitely everything. And what they do is they have like replacement, like, I forgot what they call it, but some kind of thing. It feels like, it tastes like, it actually is really
meat,
good.
But
like,
it's not meat,
yeah,
right?
That's yeah. Right, exactly. And so you can pretty much get almost any great breakfast meal there without the actual meat. And if I was a vegetarian all the time, I'd be there all the time. And it's great every time I go. So Lucy's in Roscoe Village.
Give a good tip to the waitress.
That's right. Yeah.
Good stuff. We'll post that for you as well. Thanks, everyone, for watching.
Yeah, thanks.
We'll talk to you next time.
This podcast represents an assessment of the market environment at a specific point in time, should not be relied upon as investment advice, and is not intended to predict or depict performance of any investment. Any specific recommendations or comparisons that are made as to particular securities or strategies are for illustrative purposes only and are not meant as investment advice for any viewer.